2020. What a year. I don't think any of us were prepared for what happened. But fortunately, we all went through it together. All of the good and all of the bad. Now, usually at the start of each year, I like to take some time to reflect. Reflect on my experiences, reflect on things that happened. But this time, I figured I would reach out to the OT community and see what other OT practitioners and students had to say. So today's episode will share some reflections from the community, as well as a deep dive into my own reflections from the year that was 2020. And make sure that you stay tuned through the whole episode, because I've got some exciting news that I'll be sharing with you as well. If you're interested in occupational therapy, this is the place for you. This show aims to explore our profession by sharing who we are and what we do. Because for us, occupational therapy is more than just a job. Hi, I'm Sarah Putt. I've been an occupational therapist since 2009, specializing in early intervention and also run my own private practice in this setting. Welcome to OT for Life. From a worldwide pandemic to the racial injustices and then a heated presidential election, if you're in the US, a lot happened in 2020 and a lot that took time to process, to understand, to learn, and to unlearn. I think we were challenged as people, we were challenged as healthcare practitioners, as a society, and as the world in general. And honestly, I think most of us are still being challenged by some or all of what is going on. So let's kick off this episode and hear what a few OT practitioners from across the world had to say about the year 2020. First off, we have Dr. Sakshi from Sex, Love, and OT.
Hey Sarah, this is Dr. Sakshi from Sex, Love, and OT. And my biggest realizations and learnings from this year has been, number one, that emotions and feelings exist on a spectrum. We have survived, struggled, grieved, been exhausted, felt somewhat happy, excited, crappy, and a lot more that I think I cannot cover. And I'm glad that there are words that resonate with all of us. And the fact that we've experienced some emotion in some or the other way, despite the different circumstances, is what keeps us all connected and humble in the strangest ways possible. And number two, the biggest lesson that I learned this year was the hard way, which is striving a balance between grief and growth. While my personal life was in shatters, I had the opportunity to create something amazing and create some amazing professional connections, and to know that there can still be some life in grief is the biggest lesson I take with me. Thank you.
Whew. So good. Way to start this reflection episode off with a bang, Sakshi. Oh my goodness. Like, as you were talking, everything you said resonated so much with me. Every emotion that you listed out, every feeling that you listed out is something that I've gone through in the past year. And sometimes they lasted days, weeks, months. Sometimes they lasted only a fleeting moment. But I think anybody that can be listening to this right now has experienced one, if not all, of the emotions and feelings that you mentioned. And really, it does come down to that connection piece, the connection with ourselves and understanding our feelings and emotions and embracing them and allowing them to happen, but also the connections that we can have with our OT community, with our friends and family, and with society as a whole. Granted, connection looks a little different these days because of the pandemic still going on, but with the assistance of technology and Zoom and virtual meeting rooms and Clubhouse now being the new big thing and social media, there's so many ways that we can stay in contact with each other and check in with each other about how we're doing. Because like I said before, I think we're all still being challenged in ways that we're still processing and we're still kind of working through those emotions and those feelings. And when you said balancing grief and growth, yeah, I think we've all been going through that. Grief, if we know somebody that's been affected by anything that's been going on, and also the growth that we've been going through as people, as humans, and moving forward and being resilient and showing up in the darkest times and being there for each other. So thank you so much for sharing your reflections and sharing such a beautiful reflection. And so much of it just rings true to my own heart and a lot of what I've been going through as well. Next, we have Brock Cook from the Occupied podcast.
Hi, it's Brock from the Occupied podcast. My reflections on 2020, it's been a year. I believe that as a global community, we've seen the best and worst of humanity come out. I choose to focus on the more positive things. I believe that we've seen people reach new levels of connection with each other as that thing that we generally take for granted of being able to go out and just see whoever we want or even get inadvertent contact with people when we go to the shops, etc., was taken away. People became very resourceful and came up with new and wonderful ways of meeting that connection need. And I believe that that really speaks to a lot of the theories that we have as occupational therapists. On the bad side, I don't think that there's anything particularly bad. Obviously, people are going to have their individual experiences. From my experience, yes, we saw a lot of heightened emotion. We saw a lot of really positive things come out of really negative things. I believe that a lot of that heightened emotion was due to the unprecedented stress. I also believe that due to that unprecedented stress, I think we were striving to find a lot of the positives in the negative experiences. So trying to find positives within the lockdown, trying to find positives through the Black Lives Matter movement, trying to find positives in high unemployment and financial stress for thousands, millions of people around the world. I do believe that as a human race overall, I feel like we've become closer and more tolerant, generalizing of each other and with each other. And I really do feel like, me personally, that it really forced you to get in touch with what you truly value. So I'm choosing to focus on the positives in what has been an unprecedentedly stressful and dynamically weird year. So yeah, that's my reflections on 2020.
It has been a year. And I like what you mentioned about the global community really showing its best and its worst, because I think we saw a lot of really negative, really low points, but I also think that we saw a lot of really positive, really high points of people coming together. And I think the bottom line of what you said of finding the positive in the negative, there was a lot of stuff that went not how we expected, not how we would have wanted, and a lot of things that happened that truly just made 2020 a very difficult year to get through in general. But taking a step back and utilizing our OT brains to kind of navigate this time and focusing on that positive piece, focusing on finding the positive in the negative. I love that. I absolutely love that. And I think you're so right about how we kind of used to take things for granted, like going out, meeting up with people, going out to dinner, going out to lunch, going and grabbing a coffee with a friend. I know for me, and some places have opened up with the pandemic, but where I have been, everything is still pretty much shut down and has been shut down from the very beginning. And I'll be watching a movie or a TV show that is old or, you know, was recorded before the pandemic even was a thing and even started. And I'll just sit there and be like, what it would feel like to be sitting in a restaurant with a group of my friends again. It's been months, going on almost a year since I've been able to do that. What it would be like to be able to get my entire family back together and to be able to see people and see them in person. Like, yes, Zoom is great and the virtual connection is great, but there is some magic about being in the room with a person or with a group of people that you just can't get through the virtual sense. Another thing that you mentioned that I also find valid in my own life is really becoming in touch with what we truly value. I think 2020 gave us a time to take a step back, to take a breath, to evaluate our lives, what we like about it, what we don't like about it, and really kind of get to the baseline, to get to the bottom of who we are and what we are about. And a lot of us were forced into that due to the isolation and due to some of these events that happened. And while I think it was difficult to manage in the beginning, or maybe it was easy for some people and it actually took a couple months for them to kind of come around. And I actually think that I kind of fall into that realm. I think I was one of those people that I was always so busy running from place to place, driving all day, seeing clients. And as soon as that stopped, I had so much time back in my day. And I think in the beginning, I just thought life was great and everything was fine. And it took me a few months until things got a little bit more challenging for me. And I'll share a little bit more about this when I share my own reflections. But I think it really did force a lot of us to get in touch with what we truly value. And Brock, I want to give a shout out to one of your recent podcast episodes that you just released about your own journey with depression and mental health, and how open and real and raw you were about some of these things that you had been going through recently. And I think for a lot of us, our own mental health got pushed to the forefront during 2020. And a lot of us had to face some challenges that maybe we're not used to, or maybe we've never had before, or maybe we've had and we've been navigating and we've been dealing with it and it got worse. And so if anybody is looking for a really down-to-earth, honest episode about depression and about being an occupational therapy practitioner that specializes working in mental health, please go check out Brock's episode. It is amazing. I'm at a loss for words to really explain it because it's one of those that you just kind of have to listen to for yourself. So I'll make sure to link to it in the show notes. So if you want to check it out, head on over to the show notes and I'll provide a direct link right there. But now more than ever, we really need to be highlighting mental health. We need to be highlighting mental health challenges, and we really need to be there for each other. Regardless if you're a practitioner that specifically works in mental health, or if you're a practitioner that works in a school or works in a skilled nursing facility, make sure always, but especially during challenging times, we are always putting mental health to the forefront of our clients and asking how they're doing and checking in with them, especially with everything that's been going on right now. The next voicemail comes from Alexis Joel.
Hey there, Alexis Joel at 8AlexisJoel on Instagram. 2020 was such a time of disruption and pause. It was such a time of learning what it means to be human when things are out of your control. It was a time of unlearning everything we knew about how we believe others live their life or are allowed to live their life in terms of occupying space and meaningful activity and whether there's choice in the matter. Interestingly enough, I was talking to my mentees, which I actually consider colleagues because they teach me so much. And at first I thought their responses to what 2020 had taught them was going to be that they learned a lot about Black Lives Matter movement and why that matters, and then the pandemic and health and well-being during a pandemic. But actually, their reflections were reflecting on how resilient they were. And I found that very fascinating, that the strength that they gained through the chaos of change and things out of their control was beneficial. But I want to also talk about something that was really good this year. My son came into the world. He's just over 6 months as I'm recording this, and the joy of seeing the world for the first time through his eyes is amazing. He also reminded me how important it is for me to set boundaries, and those boundaries with extending myself too much to others and to even those I care about in order to be a better mom, a better friend, a better human.
The first word that really stands out to me from what you said, Alexis, is disruption. I think as occupational therapy practitioners, we face disruption on a daily basis with our clients, with our students, with the people that we engage with. And I think we have such a unique perspective and such a unique lens going into a disruption in somebody's life. But when the disruption happens at a global level, I think it came as a shock to everybody's system. And not only were we having to navigate disruption in our own lives, in our own personal lives, with our families and our friends, but we also then had to face the disruption within our workplace and the changes of roles, the changes of routines, the changes of expectations, the changes in what we had to do professionally, and then add on top of it the disruption that came within our clients' lives. And I think all in all, it was a lot of disruption that continued to happen and is continuing to happen even now as this episode is being recorded in January of 2021. I think another big thing that you said was the unlearning piece, the unlearning things that we thought we knew, behaviors, perceptions, biases, anything like that. There was a lot that came out of 2020 that I know for me, I constantly found myself reflecting, thinking, pondering, questioning, asking, and continuing kind of that learning process for my own understanding. And I think a lot of us went through that and are continuing to go through that. I also love the word resiliency, and I mentioned it earlier as well. Having this resiliency when things are out of our control, I think it really shows the strength that we've had as people, as humans, as a society, and as healthcare practitioners. A lot of what we faced in the last 10 to 12 months has been harder than most of us have ever faced in our entire lives. And I think about the new practitioners that came into the OT world, jumped into their first jobs, and within weeks or a few months were hit with this pandemic and all the changes that happened and all the grief and all the sorrow and all the unexpected occurrences. And my heart goes out to the new practitioners. My heart goes out to the practitioners that have been out working for years because they're going through it too. And also for the students that had fieldwork sites get canceled, school being switched to remote learning, and all the changes that happened there. But I think in going back to kind of what Brock said about finding the positive and the negative, that resiliency piece really just stands out to me. And so many students, new practitioners and experienced practitioners overcame and are overcoming so much to this day. And it really just shows that we are resilient as a profession. We are resilient as the members that make up this profession. And we will continue to be resilient to show up for our clients and to show up for the people that count on us day in and day out. And I also wanted to give a big congratulations to Alexis Joelle on the birth of her son. And while navigating life as a mom and the pandemic, and then working on top of that, it's a lot. I mean, we're all dealing with our own set of roles and expectations. And I love that you were able to find some beauty in a lot of the negativity that came out of last year. And also, cheers to setting boundaries. I think in getting in touch with what we truly value, I think boundaries play a huge role in that, and realizing that we don't have infinite time and that we need to set boundaries in our lives to be able to allocate time to the things that are important to us. And I say it all the time, but if it's not a hell yes, it's a hell no. And you have to operate that way when approached by people who are asking you to do things. If you say yes to one thing, you're saying no to 10 other things. And time is a huge valuable asset. So I'm glad that 2020 brought up a lot of resiliency and also the importance of boundaries. Sharing her reflections next is Anna from Beyond COVID.
Hi, everyone. It's Anna here from Victoria, BC, Canada. You can find me on Instagram at anna.rhbb and at Beyond COVID, or on Twitter at abraunizer or at Beyond COVID. I co-host the Do What You Love podcast with Emily Polovic-Molds. So reflecting on Sarah's question, I was really thinking about two things. One of them is lean in. And what does that mean? When I think of leaning in, I think about those moments when you start to notice yourself getting stressed. Maybe you start to notice yourself going numb or zoning out. You see your personal early warning signs of stress. And it's taking that moment to lean in and look at where they're coming from. Maybe something's come up and how it aligns with your values and you need to make a shift to do something more with your values. Or maybe something's come up and it's something that you can change. So it's looking there so that you can make some changes. The other one is reach out. And by reach out, I mean reach out to the people around you and reach out to people in other OTs in the world. I've met so many cool OTs this year and I'm so thankful for that in 2020.
I couldn't agree more with you, Anna. Reaching out, the connections that I have formed and that I've made with OT practitioners and students in 2020 and in years past is absolutely amazing and wonderful. And it's one of my favorite things about this profession in general. There are so many unique, diverse, and incredibly smart people within this profession that are all up to such amazing things. And I think having a little bit of extra time, or maybe not even time, but having a little bit of extra space, which was brought on because of 2020, I think it really allowed a lot of us to tap into that. And since so many things moved into a virtual realm, for instance, just the other day, I was able to pop on the Clubhouse app and I was talking to people from across the globe. There were people from the UK, there were people from across the US, And it was the coolest thing to just sit there and have a conversation with these OT practitioners and students and just listen and learn and reflect on how cool of an experience that we have the capability that I don't even have to leave my house and I can have conversations with people anywhere. And I think the act of leaning in to hear those emotions, to hear those feelings, to sense really kind of what's going on in your own body, and also to embrace it. I think in talking about all the negativity and the positivity as well, we had to start with first embracing that it was happening and understanding that we are experiencing an emotion at the moment. And maybe it's not an emotion that we want to be having, but it's happening. And embrace it, recognize it, but then also reach out and do something about it. And whether that means engaging in some sort of meditation or self-care activity, maybe something kind of internally, just reflecting and allowing that space and time to process. Or maybe it is reaching out to friends or family, reaching out to our support systems throughout this time. So thank you so much for calling in and sharing those reflections. And lastly, we have Nancy from Lovely OT.
Hello, guys. This is Lovely OT. That's 2 Y's OT on Instagram and YouTube. I learned a lot this year, but my top favorite ones that I learned this year was definitely learning a lot about myself and going on a spiritual journey, learning about purpose and why I'm here. I learned about the importance of mental health and how it can impact us. I learned what it means to really be alive and be appreciative, the fact that I'm healthy. I learned that my dreams are valid if I say it is. I've learned that it's okay to ask for help. I've learned to just let things be and to trust myself and have faith. I've learned that racism is real, however, it does not need to define me. I've learned a lot from social media. I've now met so many beautiful people on social media. I have learned how to just take time with myself and give myself grace and favor when I need it. So hopefully 2021 will be a bliss.
I am completely speechless right now. Nancy, your words spoke right to me, and I have tears in my eyes. I got chills as you were sharing all of your reflections from 2020, and I appreciate your honesty and realness and opening up about some of these reflections that you had. I think definitely we've all learned a lot about ourselves, some good and some bad, and really some of the work that we need to continue to do as people, as humans, and as healthcare practitioners. I completely resonate with the part where you mentioned purpose and finding out your purpose. I think a lot of us go through life and we have our thoughts, we have our ideas of what we're working towards, but really sitting down and diving deep into what lights you up, both personally and professionally. I know for me that happened a lot, and I challenged myself a lot to dig deep into really what is my purpose and what do I want to be doing and what lights me up on a day-to-day basis? What makes me get out of bed in the morning and what makes me get out of bed and be excited in the morning? And finding that purpose and realizing that purpose is so, so hard, but also so truly empowering to then be able to make steps towards those goals. You also brought up mental health and recognizing the importance of mental health and recognizing the importance of our own mental health as healthcare practitioners. And Nancy and I actually did a podcast episode together all about this. And Nancy opened up about a lot of the challenges that she had been going through and a lot of the struggles with her own mental health because of the pandemic and her job and everything that she was being faced with on a day-to-day basis. And if you haven't listened to it yet, it is episode 87, and it's titled Recognizing the Importance of Self-Care for OT Practitioners. And it was one of those episodes that the entire time, everything that Nancy shared, even though I work in a different practice area, even though my work may look different, a lot of it resonated with me. And a lot of it I know was very difficult for her to share, but I know that she's not the only one that's been going through it. And a lot of people have shared similar experiences, similar feelings, similar emotions going through this. And I think we as practitioners are so good at promoting self-care for our clients, but we're not the best in advocating for our own self-care and recognizing the importance of our own self-care. We invest so much into our jobs, into our roles, into our clients, into our expectations, but when it comes down to taking care of ourselves, that tends to be at the bottom of our to-do list. And the episode that Nancy and I did, I mean, we dove into this and really highlighted why it is so important to focus on self-care as healthcare practitioners and really how to go about that as well. So I'll link to the episode in the show notes. If you haven't listened to it yet, definitely go give it a listen. I also really love the part, Nancy, where you said it's okay to ask for help. And this kind of ties into what I was just talking about. I think a lot of times, because we are professionals that deal with self-care, that deal with patient advocacy, that deal with helping others, we're not as good at helping ourselves and recognizing that it is okay to ask for help. It's okay to go to therapy if you need somebody to talk to. It's okay to reach out to a friend and ask them for support or ask them for advice. It is okay. And I appreciate you so much for sharing that, because I think on a very simple line, we all know that. But when it comes down to actually utilizing it and practicing it, we don't do it because we might feel ashamed or hesitant or that we'll be judged or that we'll be thought less of or anything like that. So it is okay to ask for help. And also, it's okay to let things be. There are things that are out of our control that we can't do anything about and that we need to focus on our own selves when it is something that is completely out of our control. And when it's in our control, then it's up to us and we can make a difference. Touching on the racism piece, racism is real. It is one of those things that is embedded into our society, and it's one of those things that needs to be talked about. It needs to be highlighted. It needs to be shared so that people can understand how it still exists today. Because I think a lot of people think, or maybe thought, maybe up until June of 2020, that it wasn't a big deal anymore and that it wasn't a part of our society. But clearly, it's still there. It still exists and it still is real. But I love the fact that you said that it doesn't define who you are. This is a hard subject to talk about, especially on a public platform, but that doesn't mean that it shouldn't happen. And to me, it really means that these conversations need to continue to happen. Perspectives need to be shared. Voices need to be shared, because not only is race and racism important to talk about as people, but it's just as important to talk about within the OT community. And I'm going to touch on this a little bit more in just a few minutes as I get into my reflections from 2020. But first, I just wanted to take a second and thank Dr. Sakshi, Brock, Alexis, Anna, and Nancy for calling in and sharing your reflections on the year of 2020. Thank you. I know I learned from them and I resonated with a lot that you said, and I'm sure anybody that's listening can also connect with the words that you shared. So my biggest thank you goes out to all of you. So here goes for some of my reflections from 2020. I'm going to kind of go in order a little bit here and how things kind of panned out for me and my experience. And I'm going to start with going back to January of 2020. And I had just returned from a 5-month break in talking about self-care and talking about recognizing burnout, recognizing compassion fatigue. In the middle of about 2019, I realized that I had had a lot of things adding up within my life and that I had been pushing myself to the brink, to exhaustion and beyond. And I finally got to a place where I realized that I needed a break. I needed a break from clinical care. I needed a break from my typical caseload. I needed some space and I needed some time to center myself and find the joy in my life, right? Going back to what I was saying about finding what lights you up inside. And it's not that I don't love what I do. I absolutely love being an OT practitioner. I love the field of occupational therapy, but the emotionality of practice really caught up with me. And so in August of 2019, my husband and I, we took off in our car. We drove across the US from the West Coast to the East Coast, taking about a month, and then stopping and seeing friends and visiting places that we hadn't been before along the way. Once we arrived in the East Coast, we visited with family for a little bit and then spent the next 3 months in Europe, going all throughout Europe from Portugal to Germany to Finland to Estonia to Italy to the Netherlands and Belgium. I mean, we went all over the place, and it's one of my absolute favorite occupations. I love traveling. I love connecting with OT practitioners and students across the globe. And we had the best of time. Then after our 3 months was up in Europe, we flew back to the East Coast again, spent some time with family. Now this would have been December of 2019. And then packed up the car again and drove back across the US to the West Coast. And I did a full episode about this where I go into a little bit more detail. And that is episode 88, titled, It's Okay to Take a Break. And in that episode, I follow up with the chat that I had with Nancy from Lovely OT about self-care and really what taking that break meant to me and what ultimately it led me into. And we returned home right at the end of January of 2020. So that's kind of why I'm starting at that point, because we had just gotten back from this amazing soul-searching trip where we got to see friends all over the world. We got to see things, do things, eat food that we've never had before, drink some incredible craft beer, which if you follow me on social media, you know that I am a huge craft beer lover. And we just had such an amazing time. And then we come back and we're ready to kind of jump back into real life and get back into the groove and really continue with our plans that we had laid out for the rest of 2020. And let me tell you, we had very different plans for the year than what ended up happening. We had plans to travel more. We were going to spend some time in South America. And I had already lined up some volunteer opportunities of places that I've already worked with before in Peru and in Ecuador. And I was going to be going down and helping out with those. And then my husband ended up accepting a brand new job in March. And that led us to moving to a new state, which I'm going to get to that in just a second, but I want to jump into the pandemic first because that's what happened next. So we had been back for maybe a month and a half at the time that the pandemic became a thing in my area. We had started hearing about it in the news, and I know it had been happening in Europe, and we had friends in Venice, Italy that we had just seen at the beginning of December, and they were sharing a lot of information that was happening where they were. And this was before it really even kind of became a thing in the States, at least where I was in California. And I think once the scope of the pandemic really hit home to me, it initially became something that I had to figure out. I had to start navigating personally and professionally. I did do an episode right in the beginning, and I think this came out towards the end of March. I'll link to it in the show notes, sharing my reflections at that moment. And it's interesting to go back and listen to that episode because so much has changed. And my understanding about the pandemic and about the disease and about everything that's going on is so much further along than it was back then. And it's an interesting snapshot in time to hear what I was thinking at the time that I recorded that, and now, almost a year later, where my head is at. I think initially, and something that has continued throughout this entire pandemic, has really been looking out for the safety for me and my family, for my employee and her family, for my clients and their families, and society in general, and really looking out for the best of other people and doing anything that I can potentially do in my power to ensure the safety of others. And I think that that has been a difficult reflection on my end because I feel like not everybody feels the same way. And some people have continued to live their lives, go out and do the things that they want to be doing, and really act like there's not a pandemic going on, or that it's not going to affect them, or that it's not a big deal. And I know for me, my entire life has changed because of this. And it's really made me think so much more outside of myself and outside of who I am and what I want to be doing, and really focus on the needs of others and how we can best support others within our community. Professionally, transitioning from in-person services where I would drive from house to house every day and see 6, 8, 10 clients in a day, transitioning from that to the remote world of teletherapy was interesting, to say the least. I think in the beginning, it was overwhelming. There was a lot to learn. It was not anything that I ever thought that I would be able to do because it was not a service that would be funded for within my area. And then at the blink of an eye, we went from going in person to popping on to Zoom on a computer. And I think initially it was really cool because all of a sudden the time that I spent driving, I got that time back in my day. But then I quickly realized some of the things that were so much harder operating in teletherapy, I realized the importance of communication. And when I'm trying to communicate with a client, sometimes less is more. And I have to say something and then I'll give them the space to do it and then chime in. And I can't just keep talking because it's just distracting and it just becomes noise. I learned the importance of therapeutic use of self. I mean, I knew that this was important and I utilized it within my practice. But when you are no longer in the room with somebody, the therapeutic use of self now has to come from your words and it has to come from the communication that you provide with your clients. I also realized the pros and cons about accessibility with supplies and materials. Some of the families that I worked with had plenty of stuff that we could work with, and some of the families had practically nothing. And I had to make do with whatever it is that they had. And also the accessibility piece. I felt like I was able to connect with so many families, and it was easy, and it was like we never really missed a beat. But then so many kiddos and their families started to fall through the cracks because they did not have strong enough Wi-Fi. They didn't have a device that supported video communication. They didn't have the time. They didn't have the understanding that this is important. And also, a lot of families thought it was only going to be a couple weeks or maybe a month or maybe a couple months. And so they put off therapy services until we could go back in person. And it really just highlighted, going through this transition, it just really highlighted so much of the pros and the cons of working within that remote space. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love my Zoom life. I'm a podcaster. I use Zoom all the time. But it's definitely not the same as being in the room with somebody. But at least we still have this. We still have this as a way to connect with people, to provide therapy services, and to connect with our friends and family. And speaking of podcasting, the onset of the pandemic, in a positive light, didn't change anything for me in terms of podcasting. Most of my recordings were all remote anyway. And so I was able to dive so much deeper into the podcasting space because of this, because I had a little bit more time and because it was such a great way to continue to connect with people. And it really became one of the stable things that I had within my life and something that I really do think has kind of held me together throughout the entire year of 2020 and moving forward too. And then a few months after the pandemic hit is when the Black Lives Matter movement came to the forefront and all of the racial injustices were being highlighted on the news, in our lives, in our social circles. And like I said earlier, when I was touching on this, this is a difficult conversation to have. This is something that I have been reflecting on for a while now. And I think immediately when the protests were happening and when a lot of these big movements were forming, for me, I turned to my close friends and I turned to the people that I know and that I trust within this community, within the OT community, and started having conversations with them. Now, these were not outward conversations. These were not conversations that I was having on podcasts that I was sharing with the community. These were private conversations to ask questions, to learn, to unlearn, to hear the perspectives and to hear everything that was going on from the people that I care about and the people that I trust. There was a lot of work that I was doing on myself in the background. I was attempting my very best as a white woman to understand the various perspectives of what was going on and to hear from different people from across the world about their experiences, about their journeys, about their lens, about their perspectives, about it all. And being that I am a podcaster and I tend to listen to a lot of podcasts, one of the big things that I did was I turned to podcasts for this information. I turned to podcasts that I listened to and voices, again, that I trust and wanted to hear their perspective on it. And I actually did a Best of Occupational Therapy blog post about this back in June, where I shared three podcasts that had come out that were podcasts in the beginning that I turned to that really struck a chord with me and helped me to start to understand what was going on in the world. And again, I will link to this in the show notes. But the three podcasts that I specifically turned to right in the very, very beginning was, there's one by Kuweku from OT and Chill, and he shared a lot of thoughts and feelings from Black occupational therapists and really opened up about the discussion of the importance of increasing diversity within the OT profession. The other podcast that I listened to in the beginning was Maestro on the Mic with Dr. Shantae Cofield, and she interviewed Dr. Jennifer Hutton. They're both physical therapists, and she brought on Dr. Hutton to talk about the work that needs to be done in order to be an ally and why we need to get, and this is quote, this is coming from them specifically, why we need to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. And then the other podcast that I listened to in the beginning, it's called Docs Outside the Box, and it is with Dr. Nee Darko. And it was such a powerful message about his reflections and his thoughts about the current state of the world and the disparities in healthcare. Now, I want to get real with you for a minute. I know I'm not the first one to speak up when it comes to lots of things within life. And, you know, it's not my personality. As I've mentioned before, I grew up incredibly shy. So shy that so many people throughout my childhood and young adult life didn't think I talked. And because of the shyness that I have been working on, overcoming and navigating and trying to increase my public speaking skills and getting better about that, I know that it takes me time to process things. And so I did want to take a minute that I know that I'm not the first one to speak up. And there are a lot of people that I admire for using their voice and sharing so much within minutes, within the first hours, within the first day of significant things happening. And I know that it's not my personality to do that, but it doesn't mean that I'm not doing the work. And I resonate so much with other people that also tend to be on the quiet side and not the ones to speak up first. And honestly, in kind of reflecting on the bigger picture, there are so many times, and if you have been listening to the podcast for a while now, you know, there are so many times that I stumble in my episodes, that I pause, that I say the words, I'm speechless right now. I don't know what to say. There is so much going on in my head and I don't know what to say right now. That happens time and time and time again, because it takes me time to process. It takes me time to process the information that my guest is sharing with me, or the questions that they're posing, or anything like that. Some people are really good about verbal processing, but for me, I know it takes time. But I also want you to know that just because it takes me extra time to process, and just because I'm not the first one to speak up, doesn't mean that I'm not listening, and it doesn't mean that I'm not doing my part. I think there's a big difference in being quiet and acting like nothing is happening or acting like nothing is wrong, and being quiet but taking personal action. And this is whether or not it is shared or discussed. The bottom line is, I know that I'm not perfect and I still have work to do, especially when we're talking about advocacy and standing up for the racial injustices and increasing diversity in the field. But know that I am trying. And also know that I am open to learning, continuing to learn, and having conversations about this. I am actually in the process of setting up some podcast episodes and maybe even a series, really digging deeper into race and culture within the profession of occupational therapy. So stay tuned, give me some time, because it's going to definitely take me some time to put this together, but stay tuned for those to roll out sometime this year. Okay, so the next thing that happened for me was I moved. I moved from one state to another state. And honestly, it started out being really exciting. And I was looking forward to it. I was looking forward to a fresh start and exploring a new state, exploring new breweries like I talked about before, and just kind of starting a new life in a new location. But to be honest, it was so much harder than I actually anticipated. It was really hard to move in the middle of a pandemic and having very few friends and family around in the place that I moved to. The feelings of isolation were massive, especially because of the pandemic. It's been incredibly hard to meet people and do anything since most is still shut down up here, like I mentioned previously. But again, finding the positive and the negative here, I have met up with a small amount of occupational therapy practitioners in my new state and have developed some genuine friendships with them. And for that reason, I am thankful for being up here. It's definitely been a process. It's definitely been a journey. And moving during a pandemic has not been easy. If anybody's listening that has also moved, you completely understand what it feels like, especially if you're moving to a place that you're not super familiar with and you don't have a support system, you don't have a social network or anything like that. I'm still adjusting, but it's getting a little bit easier day by day. Now, I know that I have been hinting at some pretty big news, and I guess it's time for me to share that news with you right now. On top of moving, and this happened within just a couple weeks of me moving to a new state, another reason that moving and the transition of moving was so hard was because not long after I moved, I found out that I was pregnant. And while many people will hear that and just start thinking about how amazing and how perfect and how everything is about that, for me, it was hard. It was hard to process because being an OT practitioner, working in early intervention, I have seen the worst of the worst in terms of pregnancies gone wrong, deliveries gone wrong, development gone wrong. And again, kind of going back to what I was saying in the very beginning of the episode, one of the big reasons that I initially needed to take a break from direct client care was because of the emotionality of practice, because of all of these significantly hard stories and hard cases that I was getting faced with. And throughout my years as being an OT working in early intervention, I was petrified of when the time would come that I would get pregnant because of all that I had seen and everything that I had worked with. And yes, there was a lot of positive that also came out of the work that I did, but it was hard to get past a lot of the really hard cases and emotionally difficult, I should say. It's not that the kids were hard themselves, but their diagnoses, their stories, their journeys, everything that their families had shared with me, those were the things that were really hard for me to process. So because of that reason, I had put off starting a family of my own for years. My husband wanted to have kids years and years and years and years ago. And because of my line of work, I put it off and I put it off and I put it off and I put it off. And then it happened. And it happened during a pandemic. It happened after I had just moved to a brand new location. And if just going through the typical pregnancy difficulties like nausea, lack of appetite, not sleeping, and combined with some other medical issues like thyroid stuff that was going on, if that wasn't hard enough, being pregnant during a pandemic and after having just moved to a new place made it that much harder. I mean, we're talking that my husband has not been able to go to my doctor's appointments with me. He has not been able to physically be there to support me through some of these appointments and sessions that typically pre-COVID and outside of a pandemic that he would be able to be a part of. And I know for me, that was always something that I prided myself on. Like, when I get pregnant, I'm going to make sure that my husband is a part of it because it's not a me thing. It's an us thing. And that was so hard for me to sit there and be like, I want him to be there. But because of the pandemic and because of being safe and looking out for the healthcare workers that are in the building and the offices that I was going into and the other patients that were coming in, I understood the value behind it. But it was still such a hard pill to swallow that he wasn't able and isn't still to this day is not able to be there for me and support me during those appointments. And I think another thing that being pregnant is just an added risk. It puts me at a higher risk of contracting COVID. And it's just one of those things that, like, if you're already nervous beforehand and then all of a sudden you are now in a higher risk category, it creates anxiety. And for that reason, with the moving, with isolation, with the typical things that come along with your first trimester of being pregnant, and second, and third, and all the changes that happened while being pregnant, my mental health tanked at the end of 2020. And I went through some dark times trying to navigate all of this, especially during the time when I wasn't able to tell anybody yet because it was still too early on in the pregnancy. But I've been working really hard on myself over the past many, many months to really find my happiness, regardless of how uncomfortable I am and how uncomfortable I continue to get as I get bigger here. It has been a journey. It's been a process in learning how to keep my anxiety in check with all that's going on in the world and also all that I know as an OT practitioner working in early intervention. I think that knowledge is a blessing and a curse because I know a lot. I know a lot to be dangerous, but I know that it also can create some unnecessary anxiety and unnecessary stress within my life too, wondering what if. So at the time of this recording, I am 28 weeks pregnant, and honestly, it feels good to finally share about it. I have been extremely quiet about this up until this point, and this is the first time that I am mentioning it on the podcast. So I know this episode's been going on for a little bit now, and maybe some of you are wondering, is there going to be a Lifer of the Month this month? And I guess this month's Lifer of the Month is the little one that I am currently growing. And in case you're wondering, we are not finding out the gender. We do not know what it is, and we are not finding it out. So don't ask me, because I don't know. And also, cut me some slack if you've noticed that I haven't been as good with my words recently, or if I'm asking sillier questions or anything like that, because pregnancy brain, pregnancy fog is real. It is a real thing. And that was one of the first things that I started to notice when I was recording with people, that my brain was just not operating at the speed and accuracy that it typically does. So if you've noticed anything over the past 6 months, now you know the reason behind it. And I also just wanted to give a massive shout out to all the OT moms and dads out there. This role is no joke, and my kid is not even here yet. I'm not due until the end of April. So yeah, it's definitely just been a journey, and I'm taking it one day at a time. So far, health-wise, everything is good. And yeah, although I might be uncomfortable and I might complain about it, everything so far has been really, really good. So if anybody has any questions about pregnancy from the OT lens, I would be happy to share more about it. There's a lot of things that people do not talk about. And while I'm no expert on it, I will gladly share my experience and gladly share the things that I've gone through, the things that have worked, the things that have not worked, and anything that I can potentially share with somebody who might also be pregnant right now or potentially thinking about getting pregnant or wants to get pregnant someday. I am an open book about that kind of stuff. So if you have questions for me, if you want to connect, if you are pregnant yourself right now and need somebody to connect with, you know I'm here. And yeah, I mean, if you want me to do an entire episode about it, I can do that. If you want me to bring on somebody and chat about pregnancy, I can have an interview episode about that. Like, just let me know anything. I'm totally open for suggestions. And if people think that that would be valuable, really coming from the OT lens in pregnancy. So there you have it. 2020 in a nutshell. What a year it was. I am extremely hopeful that this year, 2021, will continue to improve. And I also have a lot of fun things that I am in the works of currently. I can't share about them yet, but just know that they are going to be big. And while I'm not really one to set New Year's resolutions and haven't been for the past couple years, I am one to come up with a word for the year. And basically, I align my actions, I align my behavior, I align my goals. Everything centers around this one word. I shared it on social media a couple weeks ago, I think towards the beginning of January. But just in case you missed that post, my word for the year of 2021 is create. I want to create so many things in this life. I want to create resources and information to continue to inspire and connect occupational therapy practitioners and students. I want to create meaningful relationships with my friends, my family, the people that I already know, as well as people that I haven't even met yet. I want to create more early intervention resources with my EIOT besties, Amira Johnson and Danielle DiLorenzo, on our project that we're working on together, the Real OTs of Early Intervention. I want to create more valuable conversations about relevant topics in occupational therapy with Brock and Michelle over on the OT Roundtable podcast. I want to create time to focus on my health and my own self-care, because we all know how important that is. I want to create space in my life to try new occupations or to get back into some of the familiar ones that I've been neglecting. And most importantly, I want to create my best life and live it to my fullest potential. And also, not to mention, I want to continue to create this life that's inside of me and support it and inspire it to be the best that it can be once it joins us in this world. I've let a lot of things slide over the last few months because of the pandemic, because of moving, because of being pregnant, because of the mental health struggles that I was going through, and all the stress that's been going on within my life. But I know now it's time to shift my priorities. And I've chosen this word because I want to live this word every day and use every day to fulfill the word create. So for this year, 2021, I'm going to be all about creating and creating the life that I want to be living. If you've made it to the end of this episode, I can't thank you enough. If you have any reflections that you want to share with me, or if you have a word for the year, I want to hear it. You can shoot me an email. It's sarah@ot4lyfe.com. Or you can DM me on Instagram @ot4lyfe. And let me know what your reflections are. Let me know what your word is. Let me know if something I said stands out to you. I'll make sure that I link to my contact information and anything else that I mentioned within this episode in the show notes. Also, since we're nearing the end of the episode, I need to share this month's question of the month, and I'm going to switch it up a bit. Rather than me ask the question and you call in with your answers, I want to share a topic and then have you call in with your questions about that topic. And to kick things off with this new format, I did a post about money the other week, and I had so many amazing responses and so many people that wanted to talk about and learn about money more. So for this month's question of the month, I want to know, what do you want to know about money? What questions do you have in regards to finances and occupational therapy? I will do my best to answer them because I'm kind of a financial nerd and I listen to a lot of podcasts and I've read a lot of books on the subject, but I am no expert on it. But if there are any questions that I can't answer, I promise you that I will bring on some of my money expert friends to answer them for you. So ask away anything at all that pertains to money within occupational therapy. To share your questions, all you have to do is go to my website. That's otforlife.com/question of the month. And remember, that's otforlyfe.com/question of the month. And there is a link right there for the question of the month, which will then direct you to a link to leave a voicemail. And when you call, you can state your name and where you're calling from, whether it's a social media handle, a blog name, maybe a school or a location, if you want to share that. And then ask your money questions. Ask away. You can ask one question. You can ask 10 questions. Whatever you have that you are curious to learn more about money, let me know. Also, keep in mind that you have 90 seconds to ask your questions. But if you need more, just call back in and leave another voicemail. And if you called in previously on an old episode, feel free to call in again. It's not like a one and done type of thing. You can call in on every single episode if you want to. So really curious to hear what you have to say and what questions you have about money. And I'm excited to just continue this conversation, continue the conversation about money, and to make money feel like less of a taboo subject. All right, time to wrap it up. Like I have mentioned throughout the episode, I'll make sure that I link to everything in the show notes, so feel free to check that out. And again, reach out to me if you have questions about money, if you have questions or comments or reflections that you wanted to share with me, I'm here.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. If you like what you hear, here are three easy ways you can help support the show. One, head over to otforlife.com to find out more about any resources discussed on the show. Remember, that's OT4LYFE.com. Two, share the podcast with a friend, colleague, or anyone interested in occupational therapy. Three, subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast player so you don't miss out on any upcoming episodes. And while you're there, be sure to leave a review saying how much you love the show. Thanks again. I'll catch you next time, OT for Lifers.